Lass, he said, lifting his head to try to see Jetta's face when she still remained silent. His eyes widened incredulously when he saw that she was sound asleep on his chest. After a moment, the sight brought a soft smile to his face, but it was quickly followed by a frown as he recalled she was newly from her sickbed and still healing. Both from her head wounds and now a turned ankle as well, he recalled, and silently cursed himself. They should have stopped after the first time, he thought, mentally kicking himself. Now he'd gone and worn her out. Sighing, Ollie lay back and closed his eyes. He'd let her sleep for a bit. Just a few minutes and then he'd have to wake her, help her dress and urge her back to the keep. He'd probably carry her again, he thought, covering his mouth as a yawn claimed him. He'd noticed that her limp was more pronounced by the time the women had led her down to the church where he'd been waiting with the men, his people and Father Archibald. Ollie suspected the trek had been a bit much for her, and that, for the time being, she would do better to only walk short distances and rest her ankle as much as possible to allow it to heal. The problem would be getting her to stay off her foot, he suspected. Or, mayhap it wouldn't, Ollie thought, glancing down when she shifted sleepily on top of him, and his cock responded with interest. Perhaps he just needed to distract her again, like he had when he was trying to keep her from actively searching out memories. They were married now, and it was a chore he'd enjoy, Ollie thought, as his eyes drifted closed. It was pain that roused Jetta from sleep. Lifting her head drowsily, she covered her mouth to muffle a cough and then peered down at her throbbing ankle. The firelight allowed her to see what the problem was. She had slid off Ollie's chest to sleep curled up against his side, and her injured ankle had somehow got trapped under Ollie's leg. The weight on it was causing her excruciating pain. Jetta had just started to try to slide her leg free of his, when her brain woke up enough to question the firelight business. They were in the stables, which had been dark except for one torch by the door when they'd entered. There should not be firelight. Jerking her gaze toward the source of light, Jetta stared blankly for a moment, and then sat up with horror and smacked Ollie hard.
Husband! Husband, wake up! The stables are on fire!
What? Ollie sat straight up as if she'd poked him in the behind with a skein do. Gaping at the flames climbing up the closed entrance door, he breathed. What the hell? Jetta didn't bother to answer. He could see what the hell. Besides, she was busy pulling the top of her gown back into place and pushing down her skirts. The horses. Glancing up at those husky words, Jetta watched wide-eyed as Ollie scrambled off the bales and hurried to the nearest stall. The man hadn't done a thing about his own clothes. He was still only in his shirt, and that was still pulled up over his head like some kind of halter. Shaking her head, Jetta coughed again and slid off the bale, wincing as she put weight on her injured ankle. Ignoring the pain, she bent to pick up Ollie's plaid and chased after him. He'd opened the nearest stall door and had moved on to the second.
Husband, put your plaid on,
she said, shoving it at him as he swung the second stall door open and moved on to the third. Weaving away the offering, Ollie pulled this stall door open as well, but then turned to stare around with a frown. The horses were whinnying in fear and banging about in their stalls, but not coming out of them. That didn't surprise her at all, since it would merely take them closer to the fire. Cursing, Ollie turned ahead toward the back of the stables, barking, "Get the horses out of the back stalls, but stay away from the front ones and the fire." Coughing again, Jetta glanced along the stalls and thought that they were all in terrible danger did they not soon get out of there, but the horses in the front were in the most immediate danger. The fire had not yet reached the stalls. They started 10 feet in from the doors, but the flames were making their merry way toward them unfrighteningly quickly. Straightening her shoulders, Jetta did exactly what Ollie had ordered her not to do, and ran to the first of the two stalls closest to the fire. The heat was unbearable at that end of the stables, and the smoke was building up, becoming a black wall. But Jetta held her breath and felt her way and quickly opened the first stall. Unlike the animals at the back, this horse was eager to escape. The beast nearly trampled her in its panic to get away from the flames. Jetta managed to avoid its hooves, but was bumped to the side and slammed into the next stall with enough force that she swore she saw stars. Fortunately, she didn't have to direct the horse, at least. It rushed to the back of the barn as if the hounds of hell were on its heels. Giving her head a shake to clear it, Jetta pushed herself away from the stall she was clinging to and shouted a warning to Ollie so that he didn't get trampled. She then moved to the stall across from the one she'd just opened, and then to the second in line on each side and then the third. But she was more careful after that first horse, making sure to keep out of the way as she freed the animals. Jetta was approaching the sixth stall on the right before she heard the pounding. Glancing toward Ollie, she saw that he'd retrieved his sword from the bales and was hacking at the back wall of the stables with it, trying to make an opening for them all to escape. The crackle and rush of the fire must have muffled the noise he was making when she'd been closer to it, Jetta decided, because he'd actually made a sizable hole already. One big enough for her to squeeze through, she was sure. She'd barely had the thought when Ollie lowered his sword and turned to shout for her. Suspecting she knew what he wanted, Jetta waved him off and opened the next stall door. She would not crawl out and leave him alone to deal with all of this, and that's what she suspected he wanted. For her to escape the exhausting heat, breathtaking smoke and searing flames and wait outside while he battled on alone. Well, he could just forget about that, Jetta thought with disgust. She was no delicate flower in need of... Her thoughts died abruptly when she was suddenly caught from behind, turned and swept off her feet.
Husband?
Jetta protested, kicking her legs.
Put me down!
I want you out of here. I'll handle the rest alone, he growled, striding back toward the hole he'd made.
I am not leaving you alone in here,
she snapped, kicking her legs again. The hell ye aren't, he roared.
The hell I am!
She roared right back, and then they both turned their head sharply at the sound of pounding, and stared at the quickly enlarging hole Ollie had started. Several swords, axes, and other weapons were tearing away at the back of the stables like it was made of cloth. Thank God, Ollie muttered, starting forward again. Help has arrived.
Aye,
Jetta breathed, relaxing in his arms now that they would both soon be out of there. By the time they reached the back of the stables, the hole was large enough for the already freed horses to escape. Ollie stood back to avoid being trampled as they rushed out, and Jetta took a moment to hope that the man outside had got out of the way in time to avoid being trampled as well. And then the last horse was out, and the men began pouring in. Leaving them to free the remaining horses, Ollie carried her quickly past them and out of the burning building. He didn't stop until they reached crisp, cool, smoke-free air. Ollie!
Jetta! Dear God, what happened?
In the midst of a coughing fit, it took Jetta a moment to glance around at that call. When she did, it was only to see that every member of her new family was now rushing across the bailey from the keep and barreling down on them. Truly, it was a beautiful sight. Right up until the group drew up short several feet away, their mouths all dropping like fish out of water. That was when she recalled Ollie's state of dress. Or undress, really. Other than his shirt, which was presently gathered at his shoulders and behind his head, she was his only covering. And he was holding her high enough that she suspected she wasn't covering much more than his chest. Even as Jetta thought that, Ollie lowered his arm so that her bottom covered his jewels. At least she hoped it did.
I told you to put on your plaid,
she said on a sigh. Much to her surprise, rather than be annoyed at her I told you so, A bark of laughter slips from Ollie. Aye, that you did, love. Next time I'll listen, I promise.
Are you both all right? Rory asked, moving forward again and eyeing them with concern.
I am, but Jetta swallowed a lot of smoke, Ollie said solemnly.
I am fine,
Jetta assured them in a hoarse voice.
Truly, we were very lucky.
Aye, we were, Ollie said, meeting her gaze. Very lucky.
Well, Uncle Akir said, eyeing the pair of them. You're covered in straw and soot and look like you've been through a raging storm. I'd say you've had one hell of an exciting first night together.
While Jetta groaned again and turned her suddenly heated face into Ollie's neck, he merely started walking again and said,
That we did, until the stables burst into flames.
That brought about a burst of laughter that Jetta suspected was more relief that they were okay than anything. But the group remained behind as Ollie carried her toward the keep. Curious, Jetta leaned her head back and watched them around his arm, noting the serious expressions and gestures toward the stables, and then toward her and Ollie. The conversation only took a moment or so, and then Rory, Conran and Alec headed back to the stables while the rest of the group hurried to catch up to them. Of course, their position behind them gave them a prime view of Ollie's rear. Jetta noted the way Joe, Maureen and Edith were looking at it with definite appreciation, and curiosity made her look down. He was her husband, and she'd never actually seen his bare bottom. Unfortunately, she couldn't see it now, really, either. Well, she saw the curves from above, but it wasn't a good angle. Shifting her attention back to the women, she asked,
Rory, Conran and Alec going to help with the fire?
Aye, Sid said. Well, Conran and Alec are. Rory is checking to be sure no one was injured and in need of his help.
Nodding, Jetta glanced ahead to see how close they were to the keep. She felt bad that her husband had to cart her about like a child, and briefly considered telling him to put her down and let her walk, but her ankle was throbbing like crazy. She supposed she shouldn't be surprised. It had been aching when she'd woken, and then she'd rushed about freeing the horses on it. Muffled laughter drew her attention back to the women behind them, and she raised her eyebrows with curiosity. Noting that, Maureen smiled apologetically and explained,
We were just debating how the fire started.
Aye,
Edith agreed, and then with a teasing grin asked,
So, was it your passion that set flame to the stables?
Nay, wife, Niels said, sliding an arm around the woman. Ollie probably knocked a lantern over in his eagerness.
Blushing, Jetta shook her head.
Neither is right. We were both sleeping when it started.
Sleeping? Cam asked sharply. Ollie, is this true?
Aye,
Holly answered, and paused to look back at the stables with a frown.
If Jetta had no woke up...
He didn't finish the comment. He didn't have to. They were all now looking at the raging fire that had once been the stables. The building was fully engulfed now, and men had formed a line from the stables to the well and were passing buckets of water along to be thrown on the flames. Jetta peered around at the horses milling about the bailey and hoped they had all escaped, and that none of the men who had rushed in as they left had been caught inside.
What woke you?
Holly asked, and she tore her gaze from the chaos and flames to see that he was eyeing her solemnly.
Your leg was on top of mine, and my ankle was paining me,
she admitted. Her husband nodded, his gaze wandering to her legs and back before he asked,
Did you hear or see anything when you first woke?
Jetta shook her head.
Just the flames burning. There was no one there.
You think someone set the fire?
Dougal asked, turning away from the chaos to look at them. Ollie shrugged and smiled wryly. It seems more likely than that it started itself. Damn, Niels murmured. Then the wedding did not help at all. Jetta did not miss the silencing look Ollie sent his brother. Offering her a smile, he said, Mayhap not in that way, but it did me a world of good. Jetta is mine now. And archers, attackers, and fires be damned. I'm a happy man. Turning on that note, he continued on to the keep. But Jetta peered over his shoulder at the burning stables as they went and frowned. She knew he was just trying to keep her from getting upset, or feeling responsible for this latest attack, and she appreciated the effort. But Jetta was very aware that this trouble had only started with her being fished from the ocean. She just did not know what to do about it. She had no idea why it was happening or who could be behind it, and wouldn't until she had her memory back. She needed to try to remember. Chapter 16.
Och, Lord, love us, what are the pair you got up to now? Are you well? Has either of you been injured?
Jetta lifted her head off Ollie's shoulder and glanced around at that cry. They had entered the keep and started across the great hall, and Mavis was rushing toward them, looking dismayed. Jetta offered the woman a reassuring smile, but it was Ollie who said,
We are fine, Mavis. No need to fuss.
You're no fine. Look at you. You're both filthy with soot all over you and straw sticking out your hair and... You were in the stables?
She cried with realization.
Were you in there when the fire started? What happened to your clothes, Ollie? Good Lord, you're as bare as the day you were born. Come along now, let's get you above stairs. You both need a bath and fresh clothes.
She said, leading the way toward the stairs. And then she slowed to shout,
Flora, put water on to warm and find some men to fetch the bath. Then have Cook fix a tray for your laird and his lady. And stop gawking at your laird's bum, 'tis disrespectful. Goodness,
she muttered and suddenly turned to rush around behind them. Jetta stared wide-eyed as the woman moved up as close behind them as she could without tramping on Ollie's heels, and held out her skirts, trying to shelter his behind from view as they walked. Shaking her head, the old woman groused,
The maids'll be giggly all night after this show, my laird. You should have sent someone ahead for a plaid and shirt ere entering. Och, you're wearing your shirt. Sort of. What the devil have you done to your shirt?
Biting her lip to keep from laughing, Jetta leaned her head against Ollie's shoulder again and listened to the women mutter all the way upstairs to their bedchamber. She should have been amazed that the maid would talk so to a lord like that, but wasn't. First off, the woman wasn't a maid, as she'd assumed at the lodge. While talking with the women at the stables after her fall, Jetta had learned that Mavis pretty much ran Buchanan, at least the keep itself. She oversaw the kitchen staff and maids, and saw to Ollie's comfort. According to Sid, Mavis was more like family than staff. She'd been their nursemaid when young and tended to fuss over and reprimand them all still as if they were children. Jetta got the feeling that they all liked it, and suspected the women's mothering them helped ease the loss of their own mother. Everyone needed mothering every once in a while.
Here we are. Just let me get the door.
Mavis gave up covering Ollie's behind and rushed around them to open the door.
Thank you, Mavis,
Ollie said affectionately as he carried Jetta inside.
You're welcome, my laird. You just... Oi!
She suddenly cried with outrage.
What are you doing? Out of here, shoo!
Jetta glanced around with surprise to see that the rest of the group had followed, and Mavis was trying to push them back out into the hall.
We need to talk to Ollie, Mavis.
Someone set the stables on fire. We need to figure out what to do. Dougal grumbled.
You put the fire out. You do not need Ollie to tell you that.
Mavis said with exasperation, still trying to wrestle them out. Conran and Alec are helping with that. We are to be guarding Ollie and Jetta.
And Jordy and Katie, Niels added.
Concern filled Mavis's face, but she stood firm.
Well, guards stay in the hall, not the bedchamber. Now, off with you. They both need a bath, and Ollie needs clothes ere he receives company.
We've seen him naked before, Mavis,
Niels pointed out with exasperation. And we're no leaving Ollie and Jetta alone. Someone just tried to kill them. We need to protect them.
What?
Mavis stopped trying to push the men out and turned to face Ollie with dismay.
We are fine, Ollie reminded her solemnly. But aye, someone set the stables on fire when we were inside them. And I suspect that killing us was the intention. However, he added quickly when she paled, we were very lucky. We escaped unscathed, and I'm quite sure the horses and everyone else escaped without injury too. So, other than the fact we need to build new stables, all is well.
Mavis shook her head unhappily.
What the devil is happening? The fire, Katie shot with the arrow, and someone pushing Jetta down the stairs. Milady,
she added with a frown and patted Jetta's arm.
I'm sorry, milady. I'm just used to thinking on you as Jetta. I'll remember to call you milady or Lady Sorka eventually.
Jetta is fine,
Jetta said gently.
Truly?
Mavis asked.
Cause I'll keep trying to remember to call you Sorka. Do you wish it?
Nay, truly. Jetta is what I would prefer to be called,
she assured her, and then smiled crookedly and pointed out,
I do not even know who Sorka is. I do not remember being her. I am Jetta now.
Aye, well, if you get your memories back, change your mind and would prefer Sorka, ye just let me ken,
Mavis said, and then glanced to Ollie.
Put the lass down and cover yourself up. You've a room full of people wanting to talk to you. Besides, the maids will be up here soon with food and water and do not need to get another eyeful.
Nodding, Ollie turned toward the bed and started to bend forward, intending to set Jetta down, but Mavis immediately squawked.
Nay, no, on the bed, Ollie. What are you thinking? You're both filthy. I'd hate to have the maids change the linens again and just had that done this morn. Set her in one of the chairs by the fire.
Heaving a sigh, Ollie straightened and carried Jetta to the chair closest to the fire. He set her in it and then straightened, and they both saw that Mavis had grabbed a plaid and brought it over. The moment Ollie was upright, she wrapped it around his waist and quickly pinned it at his hip, muttering,
"Reminds me of when I used to change your nappies."
Finished with covering him from the waist down, she shifted her attention to his shirt and frowned her displeasure. Reaching up, she began tugging on it, asking,
"What the devil have you done to your shirt? Why is it all caught up behind your head? Who taught you to dress yourself?"
"You did,"
Ollie said with amusement. Unfazed by her fussing, he reached up to pull the front of his shirt back over his head and let it drop down into place. Raising an eyebrow then, he asked,
"Better?"
"It'll do,"
she said dryly, and then turned to survey the group milling just inside the door.
"Well, get over there and talk to him then. But once the bath is ready, I want you all out of here so I can see these two cleaned up. They're filthy and smell bad. I do not ken how they can stand it."
Eyes widening, Jetta raised her arm to sniff it and then grimaced. She smelled like smoked pork, a food her father loved above all others. The thought made her still briefly, and she almost told Ollie that she'd remembered that her uncle liked smoked pork, but then decided against it. That wasn't a very useful memory. Sighing, she glanced up and managed a smile as her new family moved over to join them by the fire. Greer was the first to speak. Expression solemn, he suggested. "You'll have to arrange the guard you mentioned you wanted on Jetta now. I ken you plan to wait until tomorrow morn, because you'd be with her, but..." "Aye," Ollie interrupted. "As soon as the men finish up at the stables."
"Do you ken who you want?"
Dougal asked with concern.
"I was thinking I'd have Cullen pick three other men he trusts and have the four men guard her."
"Aye, Cullen's a good man,"
Dougal murmured.
"What about you?"
Jetta asked as the men fell silent, and they all turned to look at her with uncertainty. Scowling at Ollie, she pointed out,
"You were in the stables too. You should have a guard also."
Ollie shook his head.
"Nay, I was no the target. I just happened to be there."
"How can you be sure?"
she asked at once.
"First Katie was shot with the arrow, then I was pushed down the stairs, and now both you and I were locked in burning stables. It seems to me there is no real target. Someone is just rushing about trying to kill people."
Ollie smiled at her with approval.
"You noticed that, did you? That the stable doors were blocked."
"The doors were open when you carried me in, and you did not go back and close them. 'Tis why I was so reticent at first. I wanted you to at least close the doors, and was going to ask you to. But then you distracted me."
She admitted, and knew from the heat in her cheeks that she was blushing brightly. Rushing on, she said,
"I know the doors were open when we fell asleep. After,
Her face was positively on fire now. Unable to verbalize what they'd been doing, she skipped to,
"Yet they were closed when I woke up to see the stables were on fire. That bothered me. So I looked back on the way to the keep and saw that not only were they shut, but pieces of wood had been jammed against them to keep them closed."
"The doors were jammed?"
Dougal asked with surprise.
"How did you get out then?"
"Ollie hacked an opening in the back wall of the stables,"
Jetta told him proudly.
"It was only big enough for Jetta to get out when I stopped to try to get her to leave. But the men arrived from the castle and started helping from the other side," Ollie said with a shrug. "They must approach just ere I stopped to fetch Jetta and try to get her to leave and heard me hacking away. That or something else made him look around back and see the hole I'd started."
"You were lucky,"
Dougal said, and then shook his head.
"Sorry we did not get to you sooner, Ollie. We were at the high table waiting on you and Jetta to arrive and joking about what might be delaying you. By the time we realized something was amiss, half the men were already out the doors and the others were fighting to follow and blocking our way."
Jetta could almost visualize what Dougal said. Mealtime in a great hall was always a noisy affair with lots of movement. There were people constantly coming and going and everyone was shouting along the tables to others. With the high table so far from the doors, the people at it were often the last to learn what was happening if someone ran in from the bailey with news.
"Here we are,"
Mavis said briskly as two men carted a tub through the door. They were followed by several maids, all carrying pails of water. Jetta was vaguely surprised that the job had been left to the women, but then realized that the men were all presently busy. She supposed it was lucky that two had been found to carry the tub. Jetta watched with silent amusement as Mavis hustled the others out of the room. The woman was as firm with them as if they were still children in her charge, and they responded as such. Even Greer, Cam, Edith and Maureen obediently left the room under her chivying, and they had not been in her charge as children. But then, Jetta realized, she reacted the same way to the women. Her motherly nature and take-charge attitude just made you instinctively want to please her and obey.
"No."
Mavis turned to survey them and then settled her gaze on Ollie and raised her eyebrows.
Did you plan to share the bath, or shall I attend Jetta, and then ye can—
We'll share, Ollie said at once with a grin, and the blush that had just left Jetta's face immediately warmed her cheeks again.
Then I'll go see what's taking that tray from Cook so long,
Mavis announced, reaching for the door. But then she paused and pursed her lips before saying,
I gather from what our Jetta said, and did not say, that ye consummated the wedding in the stables.
Groaning, Jetta lowered her head with embarrassment.
I'll no harangue ye, Ollie, for doing it in the stables, of all places,
Mavis went on.
For if it was good enough for Mary to birth Jesus, then I suppose 'tis good enough for what ye got up to. But, Lord, love us, lad, could ye no have at least taken a linen with ye so we'd have something to show on the morrow?
She asked with exasperation. Jetta glanced up with alarm as she realized there would be no bloody sheet as proof of her innocence when the priest came to collect it in the morning. Sighing, Mavis shook her head.
I'll see if I can find ye some blood somewhere. I dare no ask Cook. He'd suspect what it was for. I suppose I'll have to kill a chicken or something to get it without anyone else caning.
There's no need, Mavis, Ollie interrupted gently. I'll tend it. Eyebrows rising, she asked.
Are you sure?
Aye, he said, and there was no mistaking the relief on the woman's face as she turned to open the door. It seemed she hadn't been looking forward to killing a chicken. Jetta watched the door close and then smiled at Ollie as he walked toward her.
Mavis is...
Jetta hesitated and then picked the only word she could think of.
Special.
Aye. Ollie agreed solemnly, reaching for her stays and beginning to undo them. Our mother was... wonderful. But with 9 children and a castle to tend, she was always busy. Mavis stepped in and made sure we had what we needed and that none of us felt left out when Mother was busy with the others.
She was like a second mother to you all,
Jetta said as she pulled her arms free of the undone gown. Aye. And when Mother died, she took over and still mothers us to this day. He said, letting her dress and the shift she wore under it drop to the floor. Scooping her up, Ollie carried her to the tub and bent to set her in it, and then quickly undressed himself and urged her forward in the tub so he could get in behind her. How do you feel? He asked, catching her by the waist and pulling her back to sit between his legs as he stretched them out.
Fine. My throat hardly hurts at all anymore.
She assured him, and heard him chuckle. Sliding his arms around her waist, he pulled her hair aside and pressed a kiss to her neck, and then murmured, Ashamed as I am to admit it, I was no thinking of the after effects of inhaling all that smoke when I asked her how you feel.
Nay?
She asked with surprise.
What were you? Oh.
She breathed when he let one hand drift down between her legs. I was wondering if you're feeling tender, he whispered by her ear as he began to caress.
A little,
she whispered honestly, and his hand paused at once. Leaning into him, she reached back between them and tentatively closed her hand around his erection, and then turned and tilted her head to look at him as she added,
But only a little. Please do not stop, husband. I like what you do to me.
Oh, wife, Ollie breathed, closing his eyes as she touched him. I like what you do to me too. The words had barely left his mouth when he opened his eyes, bent his head and claimed her lips as he began to caress her again. Wife, are you awake? Jetta opened her eyes sleepily and peered at Ollie with confusion.
What?
Are you awake? He repeated with a smile, and then bent his head to catch her nipple lightly between his teeth and flick the tip with his tongue.
I am now, Jetta moaned, her back arching and body stretching as it came to excited life. This was the second morning after their wedding. Or was it the third? She pondered the question briefly and then let it go. She simply didn't care. It didn't really matter. Nothing did but what Ollie was doing to her. They had not left their room since returning here after the fire. Everyone had come to the room the morning after to take away the blood-stained linen that was supposed to be proof of her innocence, but was actually blood from a cut on Ollie's hand. She'd been horrified when he'd done that to create the necessary stain, but he'd assured her that their time in the barn had been worth it. But other than that, they hadn't seen anyone or gone anywhere. At least, she hadn't. Jetta suspected Ollie had slipped away to deal with matters a time or two while she slept. That she had remained in the room since their wedding night. Every time she woke it was to Ollie's kisses or caresses, and they were soon consummating their marriage again. Not always in the bed. They had pretty much consummated it everywhere in the room. In the bed, on the floor, on the tabletop, in a chair, on a chest, against a wall. Jetta had never realized the marriage could be consummated in so many different positions. It was a revelation to her, as was her response to him. It was almost automatic now. Ollie kissed, touched, or caressed her, and she was immediately aroused, her body humming and an ache starting between her thighs that demanded attention and release. Like now, she thought, and reached down to find the harness that could give her that release. Catching her hand to stop her, Ollie paused in suckling at her nipple and raised his head to claim her lips. Jetta kissed him back enthusiastically, and immediately wrapped her arms around his neck and then gasped in surprise when he suddenly sat up, taking her with him. Wrapping his own arms around her, Ollie then stood, bringing her along so that she hung in his arms, her feet dangling above the floor briefly before he bent slightly to set her down on her own 2 feet. When he then broke their kiss and released her, Jetta opened her eyes with surprise to see him walking away from her. Frowning, she watched him open one of the chests along the wall and retrieve the top gown. Letting the chest lid drop, he walked back to offer it to her.
"Get dressed,"
he urged when she didn't immediately take the gown.
"I want to take you somewhere special to break our fast."
Eyes widening, Jetta accepted the gown and quickly pulled it on. Ollie helped her with the fastenings and then fetched her brush and drew it quickly through her hair. He tried to be gentle, she knew he did. But after what she was guessing might be as many as 3 days without bathing or brushing, and with a lot of rolling around on different surfaces, her hair was a terrible mess.
"I need a bath," she muttered,
wincing as the brush got caught in the tangled mess of her hair.
"You'll have one when we get there,"
Ollie promised her, and then cursed as the brush got stuck again. Giving up, he took her hand and led her to the door, assuring her,
"We'll fix your hair while we're there too."
"Where?"
Jetta asked curiously.
"You'll see. 'Tis a surprise,"
he said, pulling the bedchamber door open and urging her out into the hall. Jetta raised her eyebrows at that, and then gazed around with surprise at the 4 men waiting in the hall. 2 had been standing against the wall opposite their bedchamber door, while 2 had taken up a position on either side of it. They now all moved forward, almost circling them. 1 carried a basket, she noted curiously. And then 2 started up the hall and 2 fell in step behind her and Ollie as he took her arm to escort her away from the room.
Jetta walked silently, sneaking glances at their guards. She'd forgotten all about Ollie's intention to arrange guards for her. But then, this was her first time dealing with them. She wasn't sure she liked it. It made her self-conscious to have all these men around. And then they started down the stairs and she saw the great hall floor full of sleeping people.
"What time is it?"
she asked Ollie in a whisper.
"Ellie,"
he whispered back. Not very helpfully, in her opinion. But Jetta didn't want to wake anyone, so didn't ask further, and concentrated on moving as quietly as she could as they reached the bottom of the stairs, and she followed Ollie to the keep doors. The people sleeping in the hall had left a pathway to the doors, but it wasn't very wide, only allowing people to walk single file. With two soldiers in front and two behind, Jetta crept along behind Ollie, trying not to look at or step on anyone along the way. She breathed out a sigh of relief when they reached the keep doors, but peered about with surprise when they stepped out into the bailey. Ollie's early had been a bit of an understatement. The sun wasn't even up yet. It was just peeking up over the horizon, and it was still quite dark out as they made their way to the paddock where the horses were being kept. Still, Jetta could see that whatever had remained of the old stables after the fire had destroyed it had been torn down, and a new building was going up in its place.
"Should be done by week's end," Ollie said quietly, noting where her gaze was focused.
Jetta nodded but didn't comment. And they had soon reached the paddock. Ollie had definitely been up and about before waking her, Jetta decided when she saw that five saddled horses waited for them. At the very least he must have stuck his head out of their room to order one of the men to see to, or arrange for the horses to be saddled. With only five horses prepared, she wasn't surprised when Ollie mounted and then bent to lift her up before him. Once they were settled, he glanced around and nodded, and two men started away toward the castle gates and bridge, which even now were just opening. Ollie followed the men, and the two other members of their guard trailed them. The ride to where they were going wasn't a long one. In fact, Jetta was actually surprised when the trees they were riding through suddenly gave way to a clearing, and Ollie and the others reined in. Eyes widening, she sat up and peered around. The clearing was on the edge of a loch. The land on either side rose up into rolling hills, but here it was mostly flat, the land slanting just slightly down toward the beach and the water beyond. Breathing out slowly, Jetta leaned back against Ollie and said,
"'Tis beautiful."
"Aye," Ollie agreed. "'Tis my favourite spot at Buchanan. It always has been. I thought we could break our fast here and bathe."
"Bathe?"
she asked, wide eyes shifting from the men with them to her husband. "'Twill be fine," he said soothingly, and then lifted her down off his mount to stand next to it.
Ollie quickly followed her to the ground and then tethered his horse to the low branch of a nearby tree.
"Wait here just a moment."
Jetta nodded and then watched him walk to where the men had dismounted and gathered. Ollie spoke to them briefly, and then accepted the basket she'd noted earlier and a folded plaid, and turned to walk back to her as the men dispersed to position themselves along the woods, with their backs to the clearing. Setting the plaid across the top of the basket under the handle, Ollie took her arm and walked her down to the shore. The beach was much smaller here than it had been by the ocean, and there were rocky outcroppings reaching out into the lake on either side, forming a smaller bay. Jetta was glad that it was small, though. It meant less of a walk and little sand to traverse. She was stronger than she'd been when she first woke up more than 2 weeks ago, but was still pathetically weak in her opinion. She suspected she wouldn't have been out of breath after such a short walk before her head injury, and while she and Ollie had made love, many times since the wedding. She had always been exhausted afterward, despite his doing most of the work. She'd probably slept as much as she'd been awake these last couple of days.
"Do you come here often?"
she asked breathlessly as they paused at the edge of the water.
I usually come in the mornings and swim ere I break my fast," he admitted, setting down the basket and shaking out the plaid to lay it on the grass. "Of course, I did not come here while at the lodge. 'Tis a longer ride here from the lodge, and I would no leave you for that long."
"Oh,"
Jetta said softly, touched by the admission.
"Do you want to eat first, or swim?"
Holly asked once he'd finished with the plaid. Jetta hesitated, her gaze sliding from the basket to the loch. The sun was higher now, nearly free of the horizon, and the sky was lightening with its arrival, but the air was a bit chilly still. Soon it would be fully bright, the sky in azure blue with frothy white clouds, and the air would warm. Jetta knew from experience, though she didn't recall what experience, that cooler air made the water seem warmer more quickly. Besides, she wasn't really hungry at that moment.
"Swim,"
she announced, glancing back toward the men.
"They'll no turn around,"
Holly assured her solemnly, and stepped closer to help her with the fastenings of her dress. Jetta half expected him to take the opportunity to kiss and caress her, but he didn't. He helped her out of her dress and then quickly stripped himself, and walked her to the shore's edge. As she'd expected, the water was cold, but the cool air soon made the water seem warmer than it was, so that she kept as much of herself underwater as she could. They'd been in the water for several minutes before Ollie moved closer and slid his arms around her waist to pull her to him. Eyes widening, Jetta glanced nervously toward the men, but Ollie smiled and said,
"'Tis all right, love. Much as I'd like to, I'll no start something with the men here. We'll have to save that for another time."
Relaxing, Jetta nodded and slid her arms around his neck, holding on as he drew her through the water, moving them in front of the rocky outcropping to the right of the little beach where the plaid lay. Jetta bit her lip as they moved. He'd said he wouldn't start something with the men there, but she was beginning to wish he would. Her breasts were brushing against his chest under the water, her nipples hardening by the moment, and his leg kept sliding between hers and gently nudging her. Trying to distract herself, she asked,
"Where are we going?"
"Just here," he murmured, and then paused as soon as she could see the even smaller beach on the other side of the outcropping. Except for the small stretch of sand, the land there was not flat. Instead, it looked like the smaller bay was carved out of the surrounding hill, she noted.
"Do you see that large bunch of bushes on the left side of the crag?"
Holly asked in a hushed voice, as if trying to be sure he wasn't overheard.
"Aye,"
Jetta nodded, concentrating her gaze on the bush in question.
"Behind that is a cave, with a tunnel entrance in it that leads back to passages in the castle."
"Really?"
Jetta glanced to him with surprise, and then found herself staring at his lips as he answered.
"Aye. I'll show it to you sometime when we're here alone. For now, I just want you to ken where it is."
Jetta nodded, but her gaze was still locked on his mouth. Now that they'd stopped moving, she drifted to rest against his front more fully, and she could feel that he was hard.
Groaning, Ollie said, "Lass, stop looking at me that way."
"What way?"
she asked, surprised to hear how breathless she sounded.
"Like you want me to kiss and make love to you,"
he growled.
"I am sorry, husband,"
but I do,
she admitted apologetically. Ollie chuckled roughly at her words.
Ne'er be sorry for that, love.
We are not going to, though, are we?
She asked with disappointment as he eased her a little away from him.
Nay.
And now he sounded apologetic.
Nor with the men here. You're no the quiet type when it comes to loving. They'd hear.
I could try to be quiet,
she offered.
Lass, if you were quiet, I'd fear I was no pleasure in you. Besides, your cries and moans excite me. I'd no enjoy it as much without it, and you'd no enjoy it as much trying to be quiet.
Oh,
she sighed. Pulling her closer, he kissed the tip of her nose and then eased her back again.
I promise we'll come alone the next time. And I'll love you till you scream so loud you scare every bird and every tree for miles around and a-flying from their roosts.
Jetta chuckled softly at the promise, and then shook her head.
Mayhap you should let me make my own way back to where we were, then. For I do not think I could bear the trip back otherwise.
He hesitated, but then nodded. Ollie didn't release her at once, however, but carried her closer to the shore so that her head was above water when he let her go.
Thank you,
Jetta murmured, and then glanced toward the smaller beach again. As they started to move back through the water toward the larger beach, she admitted,
Sayd and the others mentioned something about passages in the keep.
Did they? He asked with surprise.
Aye.
She turned back to him.
They were talking about you thinking that whoever pushed me down the stairs must have known about the passages and used them to escape.
Aye, he said grimly. The problem is no one should ken about those passages but family.
Jetta noted his grim expression and said,
Sayd does not think they used the passages.
Ollie's eyebrows rose at that.
Why not?
Most of the dresses were missing from one of the chests in the hall, and the ones that remained were crushed as if someone was sitting on them. Sayd thinks whoever pushed me hid in the chest afterward.
Ollie shook his head.
Niels checked the chests.
Did he just open each one and move on? Or did he actually pull out a dress or two, or press down on them?
Jetta asked.
Because Sayd found a Balak dagger under one of the gowns, and thinks they must have pulled the gown over themselves to hide, and it must have fallen out while they did, so that when they got out and dropped the dress back in, it partially covered it.
A Balak dagger? He asked with surprise.
Aye. It was quite lovely, with figures carved on the swellings of the guard.
Eyebrows rising slightly, he asked,
What did she do with it?
She has it. She and the other women were going to tell the men about it after the wedding ceremony. But she suggested you not be told until the next day, so we could enjoy.
Pausing, she blushed and shrugged.
Despite her suggestion, I planned to tell you myself as soon as we were alone, back in our room after the ceremony. But we did not go to our room, and then with one thing and another, I forgot until just now.
Nodding, Ollie began to walk them back through the water the way they'd come.
We should eat and return. I should like to see this dagger.
We can skip eating here and ride right back if you wish, husband. I do not mind, and I know it will bother you until you get to talk to the others about it.
When Ollie hesitated, she added,
We can break our fast at the keep with everyone else, while you talk to them.
Nodding, Ollie carried her out of the water. Chapter 17 The ride back was quicker than the ride out had been. It seemed like just minutes before they were entering the keep. It was still early, though, and while the people who had been sleeping in the Great Hall were now up and about, Ollie's brothers and sisters and their mates were nowhere to be seen, and obviously still abed. Ollie took that in as they entered, and then started to lead her to the tables, but Jetta drew him to a stop.
"Mayhap I should go above stairs and do something with my hair before I break my fast,"
she suggested, self-consciously feeling the back of her head. While the hair in front and on the sides was long and still a little damp, the short hair that had managed to grow in on the back was pretty much dry. She imagined it looked strange, though, and was eager to fix it with one of the calls the women had given her. Ollie nodded easily, handed the basket and plaid he carried to one of the men and scooped her up into his arms.
"I can walk,"
Jetta protested as he turned toward the stairs, although not very vigorously. She was actually growing tired.
"I like carrying you,"
he said easily, and then added gently,
"And you're starting to drag your feet, love. I keep forgetting that you're still healing. I should have dismounted at the keep doors and had one of the men take the horses to the paddock rather than make you walk all that way."
"Thank you,"
Jetta said, rather than argue further. Between the swimming, riding and walking, she was knackered and grateful for his coddling. Alec was coming out of his room, yawning and scratching the back of his head when they reached the upper landing. Jetta spotted him as Ollie turned toward their room, and he obviously spotted them too. The younger man froze when he saw them, mouth open and arm raised, and gaped at them briefly. Although it seemed to Jetta he was gaping mostly at her, and then he gave his head a shake and let his arm drop, muttering,
"It must have been a dream."
"What must have been a dream?"
Ollie asked with amusement as they approached him, headed for their room.
"Oh,"
he smiled wryly,
"I was thinking last night as I drifted off to sleep that you'd have to show Jetta that..."
"Show her what?"
Ollie asked when he paused abruptly. Rather than answer, Alec grimaced and let his gaze drift toward the soldiers behind them. Understanding that whatever he was talking about was not something he wished to share with the men, Ollie said,
"Come to our chamber with us."
When Alec fell into step with them, Ollie said,
"Cullen, have one of the men go fetch Mavis, please."
"Aye, my lord,"
Cullen said quietly, and then nodded to one of the soldiers, a strapping young ginger-haired man, who promptly turned to hurry back the way they'd come.
"I'll be out in just a minute,"
Ollie murmured as he carried Jetta into their bedchamber with Alec on his heels. Leaving Alec to close the door, he set Jetta down on the bed and then walked over to the table by the fireplace and turned to raise his eyebrows in question. Alec hesitated and then joined him by the fire, and the two began to talk quietly enough that the men in the hall wouldn't hear. But Jetta could, and listened unabashedly as she found her brush and began to pull it through her drying hair.
"So, what were you thinking I should show Jetta?"
Ollie asked, dropping to sit in one of the chairs.
"The passages,"
Alec said in a low voice she barely caught.
"It must have troubled you greatly if you were dreaming on it,"
Ollie commented. Alec grimaced.
"Aye, the fire bothered me. Made me think she should ken about the passages so she could escape if anything of the like happened in the keep. I mean, 'twould be just as easy to start a fire at the bedchamber door. 'Twould prevent anyone from rescuing her, and prevent her escaping by the door as well."
"Aye, brother. Good thinking,"
Ollie said solemnly. Alec nodded.
"In my dream, I showed her the passage in my room and this room. Told her how to open, close and lock them. I showed her the entrance to the stairs and told her how to open the one at the bottom of the stairs that led into the tunnels as well. But just told her about the ones in the other rooms because people were sleeping in them."
Smiling wryly, he added,
It all seemed real at the time. But my head was fuzzy. Everything kept moving on me, and Jetta had all her hair.
Grimacing, he added,